Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. Tick tick tick, says DK Shadow. JF didn't do his Windows update. It's exactly this, but if it was just the Windows update, that wouldn't be a problem. The problem is that the Windows update, every time it's available, just available, this TV bugs. How is that possible? How is Windows update detecting there's a new update available? My sound is horrible. Let me try to see here. Where am I? All right, let's try. First, monitoring the situation. Some peaking, volume too high. How about this? Is that peaking? Hello? Because I don't have monitoring capability. Hello? Too many bugs tonight. Have monitoring capabilities. I can't even hear myself. Is that still bugged? Well, you know what? Let me restart the live stream. That way I'll... Okay, Valet says, good now, laughing my ass off. Sound is better now. Better? Is that good enough? I kind of want to restart the live stream to so that I can hear myself. We are good. Okay, I'll trust you guys on the regular chat. You guys are the fans of the show. Oh, everything is shaking. You guys are the fan of the show. If you say it's good, it's good. If it was just of the Windows update, that wouldn't be a problem. The Windows update bugs the network. The network stops the TV. Carlota has sent a super chat during the night. He says, I've followed JF since the crowd days and watched TPS since the very first episode. Now on Odyssey, the show is better than ever, almost perfect. Thank you, Jan, White, and all the generous donors. Yes, absolutely. People have been very generous this month particularly, and also throughout the whole year. It is wonderful to have a base of support like this. Total Grimm has sent a 25 LBC super chat. He says, RIP Tim Ball, one of your best guests, his work in fighting against climate change lies. Climate change lies remain unsurpassed. Nice tribute for him posted by James Corbett. I didn't know about this. On the death of climate scientist Dr. Tim Ball, Canadian climate scientist Dr. Tim Ball, passed away on Saturday, September 24th. A brief obituary has been posted on the WhatsApp with that website. Ball had a long career as a professor at the University of Winnipeg, although he had been retired for a number of years and was 83 when he died. Well, that was a great guy to have. Too bad that he's dead. What shocked me the most, I think, in what he brought, if I'm correct, he's the one who brought the graphic showing that 500 million years ago, planet Earth was much warmer than the current Earth, and that had totally changed my view. That had totally made me realize, okay, we are in a system that is unstable, that is varying between two states. It's either very hot on planet Earth or it's not very hot and it's very cold, and we are switching between one and the other state. And perhaps it's time to switch toward the hotter, rather than 12 degrees Celsius average, maybe 24 degrees Celsius average. Maybe it's a time to return to plant world for planet Earth, and if humans have caused it, perhaps something else would have caused it. Genesis says, 500 million years ago, Earth was closer to the sun, bro. That's why it was much warmer. Maybe, but I don't think it's the explanation. Maybe that's your belief. I would be open to hear your hypotheses, but I think that the explanation is that there was high CO2 then, and the planet just has two modes where it keeps a lot of heat in or it doesn't. So I'm willing to hear why you think this, but I'm not convinced a priori. Dinologovich says there are urgent issues regarding pollution that are ignored to cater to the UN agenda on social engineering. Thanks for the shot, the WHO. Okay, and you call it the clutch shot. Okay. Thank you for these early interventions. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I've been starting to watch this Andrew Tate final message video. It's a video that was published about 2 weeks ago, but I didn't know about it. And apparently, it's a video following a banning, but I don't even know what he was banned of. In any case, I like the emotional aspect of it, but it made me think about Andrew Tate here is taking a totally different path than mine for the same problem. Andrew Tate is saying, okay, there's all these smears about me in the media, and now I will come out and debunk and contest all of this. And he explains the reason he hasn't done it before is that he's not hurt by smears. He understands the game of the internet, and the way he sees it is it's going to hurt me. So I don't care if it hurts me. I'm not affected by it. However, he realized that it was starting to hurt his family and his loved ones who care for him because they were affected by this bad coverage. And now he goes out and he says, I'm going to correct the record. And it's a moving video with music and all. Up to now, I've not watched the full thing. I only watched 12 minutes. So I'll see what he has to say. But my approach with smears has always been different than this. My approach is never kneel because the smear seeks to make you kneel on something you had chosen not to kneel about. If everyone starts covering, oh, he's a racist, and then you come out and you say, no, I'm not a racist. Boom, you just accepted a pillar of the left that racism is bad. It's so bad that anyone accusing you of it, you have to come out and deny it. That's bad. That's the worst, basically. And so my approach to smears has always been, let them be, and the people who believe these smears, because it's very clear that they are smears and that they are lies. You know, when the Daily Beast titles, oh, this guy was accused of ABC, rather than he was found guilty of ABC. If you're somewhat intelligent as a reader, you should know the difference between an accusation and a finding of guilt. And you should dismiss any accusation because the cost of making an accusation is zero. Anyone can make accusations at any time. So my choice has always been do not kneel because by kneeling you are being led toward an inevitable leftist confession that, oh yeah, well, I'm not racist and yeah, racism is bad, or I'm not this because this is bad. Tate has kneeled apparently in this video. Of course, I do have to watch more to determine to what extent he kneels, but it looks like a kneeling in the sense that he's going to start saying, this title was false, this is false, this coverage is false. Callum Oxworth says he's dissociating with Sneeko because he's done streams with Fuentes. I think the canceled thing with Tate is 75% marketing. Yeah, it may very well be. Purple Tuna says, I can't stand Tate's mishmash accent. It's just bizarre. My brain doesn't know what to do with it, as in what to make of it. It's like a tickle, but in affect. Yeah, he's very annoying. He speaks like one of these gym bros. And other than this, when I kind of go above the tone and I listen to his words, he seems like a pretty intelligent guy. That's why I'm watching through the whole video, and I'm open to what he has to say, and I won't judge him based on his accent. But yeah, his accent is super annoying. He sounds like a high school bully. Oh, bro, let me tell you this. And he speaks with these big jaw inflections. Like, he deploys his jaw more than you should in intellectual discourse. But in any case, I'll watch what he has to say and I'll listen. Arna Lucius says, I wonder what JF thinks of Kanye's shirt. To me, it is just a publicity stunt. It does not make him based, as some are saying. If Kanye comments on it, he will likely say the typical things, the Dems are the real racist, etc. Well, I did pull this news because I think it's important. Kanye wears White Lives Matter t-shirt to Yeezy fashion show in Paris, joined by Candace Owens. Kanye West wore a White Lives Matter shirt while launching season 9 of Yeezy at Paris Fashion Week. Listen, it's really great that this is happening. So yes, it's great that Kanye is doing this. I think he comes at it from an honest perspective of, everything that you may say about defending Black lives, or if you say it's okay to be Black, you should be able to say the same thing about white people. And just the fact that it's a provocative statement to wear a t-shirt like this tells us how bad society is right now. The fact that we need a Black man to be able to wear this t-shirt without being called a Nazi, yes, that's a problem. And it's a problem that Kanye has to do it, but that if I do it, I'm a Nazi. That it's a problem that people defending the slogan, it's okay to be white, are being mischaracterized as evil and white supremacy when it's not this. So I like that that Kanye does this because it needs to be done, but at the same time, it's sad that a Black man has to do it, because it should go without question. Anyone should be able to wear this shirt, and it shouldn't be even provocative. But it is in the current world, so big fashion statement by Kanye, and I appreciate. A Ukrainian ambassador tells Elon Musk to fuck off after billionaire infuriates nation with Twitter poll. So Elon Musk has made a terrible proposition in his tweet about, he made a poll about a deal between Ukraine and Russia for peace. And this is a perfect illustration of how the middle ground, in a crazy world, the middle ground is laughable. And that's where the extremes become the only rational positions. And that's where the conflict for existence shows in full. And the Ukraine-Russia conflict is a conflict for existence. Existence of Ukraine and existence of Russia. Look at what he proposes. Redo the elections of annexed regions under UN supervision. Russia leaves if that is the will of the people. Now, the problem is that I wouldn't trust an election happening under UN supervision. I would suspect that there would be a flood of Ukrainian citizens being sent back into these areas to pump up the vote, and that nothing could be done about it. The same way they have flooded Quebec with Federalist English people who wanted Quebec to remain in Canada, and the day of the referendum, they flooded into Quebec to vote no, but they don't really live in Quebec. They were living outside Quebec. They came back to vote, and so you'd have the same phenomenon in Ukraine. If the UN was there and it wasn't a theater of war anymore, you would have a big flow of migration going into these areas and voting to stay in Ukraine. So redoing the elections here is depriving the chance of having elections with the actual Russian people who live there without these dirty tricks being pulled on them. Then he says, Crimea, formerly part of Russia, as it has been since 1783, until Khrushchev's mistake. So here Elon Musk is trying to reach the middle ground, so he gives Crimea to Russia. And this, of course, this offends the pro-Ukrainian people on Twitter. So basically, he's making an offer that both sides are disappointed by. On the one hand, the pro-Ukrainian people don't want to give up Crimea, but they have no plan to take it back. And on the other hand, just giving Crimea to Russia seems very short for what Russia had to do. Then, water supply to Crimea assured. So that is a deal because there was worries that what Ukraine was doing to Crimea is cut it from accessing resources and accessing water pathways. So there would be a guarantee to Crimea that this is assured. I don't think it's particularly interesting. And finally, Ukraine remains neutral. So that would declare Ukraine as a non-military country that has to not join NATO and remain neutral. Listen, the Ukrainian side will not like this because their whole burst of money that they've had comes from precisely taking sides, precisely not remaining neutral. So you're not talking to people who will be interested in this. I'm currently correcting my video lighting here so that it's as it is every time. Secondly, this whole deal doesn't address the oppression of the people of the DPR, LPR, the oppression of the Russian ethnics in Ukraine. There is a bunch of people in Ukraine who have been totally deprived of state benefits, they've been deprived of pensions, they've been bombarded by Ukraine, and you are saying to these people that if the majority around you votes you into Ukraine, you're gonna have to continue living under that oppression. It's absolutely ridiculous, and Elon Musk says this is highly likely to be the outcome in the end, just the question of how many die before then. I don't think it's the likely outcome. You are saying that the likely outcome is that Ukraine will succeed in counter-offensives across its entire territory down to Crimea border. This is insane. There is no sign that Ukraine is capable of managing this. Russia hasn't even fully deployed full force when Ukraine has deployed all of its forces, although with an infinite American funding, you never know. But there has to be a point at which Ukraine cannot advance further, and they are trapping themselves into advances that will expose them to a reply by Russia. So no, I think Elon Musk here illustrates why thinking as a centrist at some point doesn't work anymore. And there has to be a winner in this war, and if Ukraine has the ability, they could win in principle, but I don't think they can win in practice. Callum Oxworth says, it's just a wish list that is based on a misunderstanding of the reasons for the war. Cringe from Elon. Absolutely. I would recommend that Elon watch Ukraine on Fire and the other one from Oliver Stone just before or just after Ukraine on Fire, but the two documentaries you should watch and understand that keeping DPR and LPR in Ukraine is not a possibility. If you stand for this, you stand for the continued oppression and rejection from a bunch of Russian ethnics from a society that will now hate them even more. I mean, if the anti-Russian hate was high in 2014, the anti-Russian hate would be extreme. after this war. So forget it, Elon. Your plan sucks. It's really bad. Supreme Court to hear case challenging the tech industry's Section 230 immunity. The Supreme Court on Monday agreed to weigh in on whether tech companies should be allowed immunity over problematic content posted by users. The case at hand alleges that YouTube aided and abetted the killing of an American in coordinated 2015 terrorist attacks carried out by ISIS, which killed 130 people. The family of one of the victims, Noemi Gonzalez, has argued that YouTube's active role in recommending videos overcomes the liability shield for internet companies enacted by Congress in 1996. It's extremely frustrating because this immunity of Section 230 is the law. And yet you had a couple of decisions in court that are saying, oh, well, you know, this immunity is not against everything. Maybe child porn doesn't qualify here. And no, it's pretty clear. The law says basically, if you are an internet service provider, if you are providing services on the internet or the internet service itself, you are, if you're not managing on an every individual basis who your customers are, if you're not monitoring your channels because you can't, because there's too much information passing, you're not responsible for what's happening on your platform. Now, I think that in the case of YouTube, what's happening with YouTube is that they have so many terms of service that at this point they should be considered an editorial platform and they should not be considered immune under 230. But Section 230 immunity shouldn't have exceptions because there are no exceptions in the law. The whole idea of the law was to say, all right, these people are managing way too much information and serving, they're giving a public utility to people. And a public utility that shouldn't pay the price of if there's one person using the public utility to do something wrong. Just like the electricity company couldn't be sued just because someone takes cables and electrocutates you with it. It's not the fault of the person that was managing the electricity company if you have been attacked by electricity by one of their customers. That's the idea, and this should be a full immunity. Genesis says, thumbs up the stream. Let's see how high we can get from 24. Azeus says, so many uglies. They rape my eyes, and I get nothing but shame. Okay, so you are considering that an ugly person is raping your eyes and you haven't consented to see that person. Okay, that's an argument. I guess that given that we have clothing laws and I guess that the display of a body is an act of aggression in our current societies. And so the display of an ugly body could qualify as a rape, as you say. John Drake says, I can't wait until the algorithms are placed in the end user's hands. It's coming. Maybe it is. And maybe it will remove total... But it would have to be imposed by law. And the YouTubes of this world have all of the interest in keeping these algorithms being black boxes because it allows them to always come in front of Congress and say, well, no, that's the algorithm doing this. It's our algorithm. And then when they ask, is your algorithm discriminating, for example, against LGBT? Because there was a time at which LGBT subjects became so controversial that they got systematically demonetized, but then LGBT people were like, hey, we're now getting demonetized just because we're gay. And that's basically it. I mean, do you want your Do you want your group to be discussable on public platforms? If you want that, you're going to have to accept that the critique of the LGBT people will be monetizable, but you wanted them to be demonetized. So by wanting to demonetize something that you cared a lot about, you ended up demonetizing yourself. And the answer of the Google person on this question, can the algorithm discriminate? They had said it shouldn't be. And that's what Google likes as a position. They can basically have a discriminatory algorithm, but all that matters is, well, we didn't have quite the intent of the algorithm discriminating. Maybe it did end up discriminating, but that's not to us. It's the algorithm. So it's a way of of getting the agency out of human beings. And once the agency is out of human beings, they can do anything. So they know what their algorithm does. I mean, the YouTube algorithm is severely anti-white. You can say something as a white person, you will get hate speech ban automatically, but you say it as a black person, no problem. It's a regular word that constantly gets used in YouTube videos and rap videos, but say this word as a white person and automatically you are banned. So your algorithm is discriminatory. You're going to have to come to terms with this, YouTube. Azir says, JF gets it. okay, and that was in reference to ugly people committing a rape of your eyes. Yes, I have justified your view. Azir says, Agent Smith is everywhere. Okay, you are in the Matrix stuff. Quebec election, people are saying, oh my god, I've so not been following this that I didn't know Quebec election was tonight. I can search for it. I didn't know that it was tonight. I'm so done with Quebec, I don't think there's much hope. I would like to see a kind of conservative party rise, because the CAQ is hopeless. With our current prime minister, I'm having difficulty here. Let me try here on this window. Oh no, are you telling me that the freaking Google Chrome, is bugged? Oh my God. But let's try this one. Quebec election. No, Google Chrome is bugged. Why does that happen? I've done nothing wrong. Quebec election 2022. News about Quebec election. Live Quebec election results. 45% of eligible voters have cast ballots so far. Oh my God, I have... Top updates. CAQ could win even more seats than it did in 2018. Projections suggest the PQ gained the most ground during the campaign. Okay, so it looks like the CAQ is going to dominate again. I'm not super satisfied by the CAQ government. It didn't do anything to solve the big problem of Quebec, which is the violation of parental rights. You cannot be a parent in Quebec. It doesn't make sense. And yet, the guy from the CAQ is the worst. He says, yes, in Quebec, you have to send your child to public schools. And so there's no hope for parents in Quebec. And as long as we keep this guy in, and he seems to be gathering a lot of support, as far as I'm concerned, Quebec is a dead nation. I don't care what happens to it. They're done. Jan sends $100. Thank you so much. He says, is it okay to genetically modify your children to be less open to genetic modification? There's going to be a loophole in this. we don't need to modify ourselves down that direction. I guess, like, could you make a theoretical argument? it would be based on an extreme anti-TRP pragmatism. I guess you could say, well, fighting TRP is so important that making genetic modification just to fight TRP more is the right thing to do. But I don't think we need this in any case. And the thing is, suppose you do start to modify, you modify genes so that people like genetic modifications less. Now imagine the only way that this will take root in society is if your gene is also evolutionarily rewarding. So the modification that you do, either it will disappear from society because it disadvantages people, or it advantages people and then it will stay in society. How are you going to make the desire to fight against TRP a more desirable thing in the dating market? Well, you're going to modify the woman to love men who are anti-TRP. Now you do this. But now, who's successful in this society? The people who are successful in this society where women have been tuned and men have been tuned to fight TRP and women have been tuned to select men who fight TRP. Basically, the people who are most successful evolutionarily in this society are those who had their genes modified. And now you don't control the evolutionary future of this direction. What if the people who have gained this advantage say, all right, let's extend the genetic modifications now. We made an exception and we were rewarded for it. Let's expand that exception. Let's say, all right, you will be rewarded for fighting TRP and have this and this and that modified. Or perhaps it wouldn't even be a conscious choice. Perhaps accidentally, by making men more aggressive against TRP, you've also given them more aggression against everything. And then they start gaining from the modifications that they've done. And then the span of the possible modification expands, and then the exceptions expand. You've basically caused TRP by wanting to fight TRP. So no, I don't think we need much manipulation anyway for people to be self-caring. All that you need is let nature go, and people also must be educated to know what it means, because we have not evolved to conceive of an evolutionary threat over a million years, because none of our ancestors were capable of perceiving over more than what would affect their granddaughters or grandsons. But we now can because of science, so we need to educate and trust nature. Takeaways from the dramatic first day and opening statements of the Oathkeepers trial, with the historic case that they had brought against Oathkeepers, accused of plotting to attack the U.S. Capitol on January 6, prosecutors framed up how the jury should think about the allegations within an hour-plus opening statement that kicked off the trial in earnest. So these Oathkeepers were part of the protest. There are, for now, based on the opening statements, what I understand is that there's little evidence of a conspiracy other than they were discussing among themselves, and sometimes someone would say something edgy or something a little bit above the board, and the other guys would be like, shut the fuck up! So it's like you're going to have the prosecutor convince the jury that there was a kind of secret conspiracy, that they were all intending to overthrow the U.S. government. First, the jury is going to have to believe that, okay, they wanted to overthrow the U.S. government, that merely pausing an official proceeding like happened on January 6th, where it was slowed by a couple of hours, that this is insurrection, that if the government cannot do it exactly on the hour they had set, it's an insurrection. Like, you've delayed by 1, 2, 3 hours, that's an insurrection. And then you're going to have to believe that this was the intent, the plan, and on top of it, that basically those code words that they were using, those, all right, shut up, we cannot talk about this, is itself indicative of criminal intent and conspiracy. It's not impossible that you can have, yes, Lindahl says, a stacked DC jury can believe anything it wants, though. Absolutely. But then even a stacked DC jury may have one person in there that is like, let's be reasonable here. We're talking about a 1 hour delay of an official governmental proceeding. The distance between the actions of these guys and the result is it's extremely distant. And on top of it, these guys seem to know that there was possibility for committing crimes, and they didn't want it to commit it because they said, shut up. They said, don't say this. We're not interested in this. Now, it raises the question, can you be part of the conspiracy because your friends are not intelligent? Because I find myself very often with people from the crowds, people from the internet, saying stuff in DMs. And it's not my fault if they say these stupid things. But am I guilty of being part of the conversation if my response to them is, shut up, don't say these things to me? It seems that this is what the case will be relying on. We'll see as more proof and video gets brought up, but that's basically the image I get from the opening statements. Dino Legovic says, guilt by association should apply to politicians as well. Guilt by association is terrible. It shouldn't apply at all, but yes, we are applying it very unjustly in our mediatic system, in our intellectual world. We are. Purple Tuna says, maybe it would be possible by making a whole new type of DNA, black box DNA. It's hidden from view somehow, and if you try opening the figurative black box, it destructs, so there would be no way to read it. Maybe that would be unmodifiable. That was in response to a question by Firestarter was saying, what was he saying? Better ID, gene mod, so you cannot mod it anymore. Ah, okay. Well, I mean, you could have such a thing. You would probably have a hard time maintaining it through evolutionary time, but you could have a gene drive strategy where you modify, you could insert in people's DNA an automated reaction that as soon as a molecule of CRISPR gets detected, the organism self-destroys, or even the cell self-destroys. So if you try to make it on a sperm or an egg, self-destroys as soon as it detects the ingredients for CRISPR. Now, you could have this, but on the other hand, you would have made CRISPR a very potent bioweapon, because now all you would have to do to get people to self-destroy is spray them with a generic CRISPR kit. Not a good idea. Ariel Suarez says, Purple Tuna, interesting. DNA that destroys upon any attempt of modification, but wouldn't it be just a matter of time before a way to bypass this be developed? Exactly. The problem is this society would be extremely unstable. And people could die just being exposed to this chemical made in CRISPR. And eventually people would evolve not to die in response to CRISPR. And you would have lost the functionality of your self-destroying kit. Fema Chief responds to Kamala Harris' claim about prioritizing communities of color. The head of the Fema said that the administration will support all communities. because Kamala Harris was answering to how will you handle the support in response to Hurricane Ian? And she said, very loosely, she said something along the lines of, well, we're going to do what we do usually, which is try to direct the money to the people the most, to the communities the most in the need. And that was kind of a SJW type phrasing that suggested that you're not going to help white people. Is that what you're saying? The communities most impacted by these extreme conditions. That was code word for black people, basically. And the problem is in Florida, a lot of people are hit that are not black and they need help. Crazy Catman says, I recall hearing someone say the biggest issue with the January 6 people is that they didn't unite for the court cases. They're being tried as individuals. Something about the prisoner's dilemma. I mean, yeah, but you can't unite for this kind of thing. The whole the principles of criminal prosecution is there needs to be specific evidence about what you committed as an individual. And if there's none, then you shouldn't be prosecuted at all. So it's not the option of a defendant to decide to consolidate their cases. What you can do is take all of the same lawyer, but there's no particular reason to do this. So I don't think it's the problem. No, the problem is that they've participated to something that had potential political implications, and it turns out the other side went ape with it. They went completely insane. It's an insurrection. So it got kind of converted by the media, partly, and by the politicians, from a protest to an insurrection, and they're trying to get it in the court as such. Now, what did I have to say about this that was important? Yeah, the left constantly uses the phrasings that I've seen in the trial. You know, we're going to disrupt. We're going to disrupt the system. How many times have you heard this by a leftist SJW, Antifa type, going to some protest in Washington, D.C.? It's a regular phrasing. And they have sometimes went into the Capitol and disrupted the Capitol with their signs and with their voice. They have done so. So it's very arbitrary how this ends up being considered an insurrection. If you really wanted to be objective about it, either all of the leftists in the last 20 years who have said, I want to disrupt the system, would be brought in front of the court. And if they went to a protest after that had some effect on the traffic, then they should be sued for conspiracy to commit a kidnapping of drivers. Because that's what you do when you trap a bunch of drivers on one side of the road and you don't allow them to pass, you just kidnap them. And if you went to that protest by saying on your cell phone or somewhere you were recorded, I want to disrupt the system, then you've effectively met the demonstration standard that is being used in the Oath Keepers trial. You have conspired to commit a crime. Of course, it never happens precisely because of the arbitrary nature of political definitions here. But either we're in a world where the leftists who do this are all criminals, or the Oath Keepers are not criminals either. Because the Oath Keepers, there's a lot of holes in the demonstration between the political effect and the political consideration of an insurrection and their own words that they use. Is it possible to say, I want to disrupt the system, but to mean it in a perfectly legal way? We would need a jury that's intelligent enough to understand these distinctions, but I don't think that's what we're gonna have. Satanic Temple goes after abortion bans. The Salem-based Satanic Temple is suing Indiana and Idaho in federal court over their abortion bans, arguing they violate the religious rights of people in those states. It is so funny. Is the Satanism, is that a real thing or it's a troll? That I've never figured it out. Are they real or is that just a joke? Is that a comedic perf? I sneezed, but I muted the microphone just in time. Is that a big joke? Like their whole religion is a joke, or do they really believe in this? I don't know. But in any case, they're going after the abortion ban. They say, that's our practice. That's our religious practice. Iran's Ayatollah breaks silence on anti-government riots, calls uprising a U.S.-Israeli plot. So, yes, I think it's not random that suddenly in the current political context, there has been an uprising in Iran. I think it's absolutely not random. It is to be expected. And there must be foreign pressures ultimately linked to this. I believe that the analysis must be correct to some extent. He laid the blame on the United States and Israel for fueling the unrest as part of efforts to fragment the Islamic Republic and its government, implying an ongoing regime change plot. I say explicitly that these riots and this insecurity were a design by the US and the occupying fake Zionist regime and those who are paid by them, and some traitorous Iranians abroad help them. Makes total sense. It's what the US has been doing for as long as I can remember, before I'm born. So why would it be different today? There must be ongoing programs to control the world as they have done before. Pfizer mRNA spike protein found in deceased man's brain and heart. Peer-reviewed report. So this was a man who died at 76 years old. In the report, spike protein specifically attributed to COVID-19 vaccination targeted blood vessels in the man's brain and heart. Incredibly, the report used immunohistochemistry. So it's a clever technique that they've used. They've highlighted the parts of the body where they found the spike protein, but they didn't find the other viral component. So what is it in the recent past that would put a spike protein of a virus, but not the virus itself? It's the vaccine. And so using this technique, they could distinguish between the organs that would have been damaged by COVID versus the organs that would have been damaged by the COVID vaccine. And what they found is that in the brain and in the heart, the spike protein can be found, but not the nucleocapsid of the virus, meaning that's probably an effect of the vaccine. Crazy Catman wants the link to this article. Here it is on the regular chat. All investors are ready for a recession. Colin Oxworth is asking if I watched any more Utopia. Didn't have the time today. I was on shopping duty for the family, so I went, I bought some oil, I bought some food. Mama JF is taking kind of a list of recipe that she wants to make, and so I went to buy all of the ingredients for this recipe. And so I didn't have much time home today. All investors are ready for recession. portfolio investors continued to flee from the oil market last week amid multiplying signs of an imminent recession that would cut petroleum consumption. Hedge funds and other money managers sold the equivalent of 34 million barrels in the six most important petroleum futures and options contract in the week to September 27. That would mean that these rich people do not expect much demand for petrol, and they expect that a recession would come in and that would reduce demand for petrol, which would be good for me. I'd be happy to see lower prices in the gas industry. Here I'm trying to fix something on the sound because I want to illustrate a video with sound. Let's see if that works. Brief historian says, JF, thanks for introducing us to Philippe Fabry. Can you recommend any other based French language content creators? I can't, because I don't consume any. So you're on your own. You're going to have to go out there and find brilliant people. But I'm very proud of having found Philippe Fabry, because I think I want to see the world through his predictions, especially with the whole Russia pressure rising. It's exactly as he described in his book, The Future History of the World. So he has a powerful model of history, let me tell you, to be able to have foreseen what I couldn't think about. Like, if you ask me 5 years ago, is Russia important at all in the dynamics of the world? I wouldn't have told one way or the other. But he knew that there would ultimately be a conflict, and it will all be about to what extent can Europe collaborate with Russia, can be tempted by the collaboration, or to what extent is the US not letting this happen? And we've seen this week dramatically that the US just won't let it happen. The US has decided, we don't care if old people die in Germany because they lack electricity, we're going to blow this pipeline. So the answer to Philippe Fabry, in his book, he had two scenarios for this tension. He had a soft scenario in which, you know, Russia is allowed to meddle a little bit with European elections and convince some Europeans to be sympathetic toward Russia. Or America becomes so authoritarian that then you have a hard scenario in which Europe is totally subordinated to America. I mean, it seems we're headed toward the hard scenario of Philippe Fabry. That is worrying, because then it's a full-out war with America and Europe against Russia. That seems to be what we're headed for. And that was all predicted by Philippe Fabry. What a genius historian. I've never seen an historian who tries to make predictions about the future. Seek shelter immediately messages appearing across Japanese television following reported North Korea missile. So apparently North Korea sent a missile. Government said seek shelter immediately. That was about an hour ago and I didn't hear any blast, so I guess that Japan is still on the map, but these sending of missiles are worrying to a lot of the Asian nations around. In 41 seconds here in a video that is amazing, we see an intervention by a policeman. And in 41 seconds, the guy just drops his cup of coffee on the board of his car, gets behind his car, pulls out a kind of almost sniper, but not quite sniper, like more like a semi-automated rifle with a good scope, and shoots a guy from very far who was a shooter, who was apparently shooting crazily in many directions. It's quite amazing to see the professional work.
Incoming watch manifest.
Look at this. He put his cup of coffee right there, and then it starts.
Having a watch, Madison.
He's hearing the gunshots. Not disturbed. He has a mission. He must take out his rifle. Looks like a regular semi-automatic rifle, but with a scope here. And the guy is so far, we don't even see it on camera. Takes position.
All right, we reloaded.
Reloaded.
Are those shots coming from the outside?
Single shot.
I don't know.
X-ray 316, shot fired, suspects down.
Incoming.
That's it. Shots fired, suspect down. Wow, they are getting good at shooting from far. Pretty amazing to see professional police work like this. Headshot, that's what you would hear in a game, I guess. Purple Tuna says, Jeff, are you a tea aristocrat or a North American coffee pleb? I am a North American diet Pepsi drinker. I am neither drinking coffee nor tea. If you want coffee, I can drink coffee at two conditions. It needs to be super sweet, super filled with milk or cream, so much that the coffee is basically the minor part of the drink, and you need to ice it. So that's the conditions under which I can enjoy a coffee. If there's more milk than coffee, if there's ice in it, so it's super cold, and if there's lots of sweetness and sugar in it. As far as I'm concerned, anyways, these super sweet latte iced coffee, they are too sweet for me to enjoy, so it's not something I could drink regularly. But the Diet Pepsi is just the perfect equilibrium with my body. Just a little bit of potassium, a little bit of sodium, zero calories. There's nothing else I need in life. Tea sucks. Although Mama JF has some extreme teas that she does. Like I went to a Chinese, underground Chinese market where you have to basically fight as a ninja, and then they allow you to enter. And I bought some red dates, and she has made a red date tea. That was good. That was good. But it's like you need that much red date to create a little bit of tea. It's a little bit wasteful, to be honest. I bought a pouch of red date that big, and you make tea out of it, it's ridiculous. The whole idea of extracting the products of something through water boiling is pretty annoying to me. Now, in the South of America, in the states of the South of the US, they have a good iced tea culture. And this is where I discovered how iced tea should taste. Because in Canada, all we have is Nestea. And Nestea is generally a mix of lemonade and half lemonade, half iced tea. And that's kind of disgusting. But if you really do a tea, this is what I didn't understand, that iced tea is basically just regular tea with ice. Now, if you do this, it can be quite good. Not good to the extent that I would do it very often, but the South Americans on the south of the US understand tea very well. And yes, I like it iced. Mama JF, what's up?
Yes, me too. I always hated people who drink tea.
Yes.
I'm like, why are you drinking this? <I'm> like, 'cause me, I want to eat like calorie or something. Like, yes. Why? What is it gonna change?
Why would you eat the extracts of a meaningless spice?
It's so annoying. But No, but what I discovered recently is infusion.
Infusion?
You remember you bought a thing of tea? Okay, I put the whole package in the water and I let it 24 hours.
Oh, yeah.
With the cinnamon stick. Oh, my, it was so good.
Did you see the cinnamon sticks I bought for you?
Oh, yeah, they are.
I bought giant cinnamon sticks to Mama JF. I saw this. I found this too. I said this is too beautiful. Long cinnamon sticks. I've never seen this before. I said I'm buying this for Mama JF, even if we don't need cinnamon stick. Barnaby Bruto says infuse tea in cold water for 24 hours. It's even better than hot/brewed. Cooled with ice. Well, I think it's what Mama JF was discovering, and she made me taste these things. It's good. Basically, tea can be good, but the whole culture of taking these little bags of tea, don't show the bag though. The whole culture of taking these little bags of tea for a single or two cups, that is not what you should do. You should put massive amounts of the thing you want to tea, and you should ice it, and you should extract all of its goods.
Yes.
Cinnamon sticks. Have you ever seen such big cinnamon stick? Smells cinnamon. Very good, Mama JF. I'm very proud that I've reached a degree of luxury in my life where my cinnamon sticks could also serve as hockey sticks. Philosoraptor sends a super chat. He says, hi, JF. To what kind of television would you expose a young child to? Cartoons on Disney Channel are well made, but I noticed a lot of lefty propaganda. Should I avoid television altogether or stick to older shows? I think it's not a bad idea to avoid television altogether, let me tell you this. One way you can approach this is don't have a TV in the home. That is a very good idea. You're going to recenter your child toward the human interactions. It's going to be better. Now, I don't think you need to be super tight with this. Like, if your child ends up seeing something at the neighbor's house, it's not dramatic. It's not like you will be single presentation brainwashed. So don't be too tight about it. But the idea is, yeah, don't have a TV at home. Mama JF is here. What's up?
Amy, I think the children's show is just a CGI stuff. It's so creepy.
Yes.
Oh, I think it messed with your brain, seriously.
So what would be your policy? No TV at all? No, we don't have a TV in the house.
May I say, either the big costume people, there, you know, before they put costume, it was so nice, like the banana in the pajama.
Yes.
Oh my God, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you can find things from the 80s and 90s that are totally immoral.
Yes, or the cartoons, but the old cartoons, like Magic School Bus and yes, stuff like this. Not the CGI. I don't know what happened with CGI. It messes your brain, I think.
Yes. So old stuff you will find on YouTube or downloadable stuff or stuff you can stream in some way. That is totally recommendable. If you're talking about very baby, they don't need much storyline to be entertained. So you can find YouTube videos about dogs. You can find YouTube videos about babies, and a baby will be totally entertained just to watch these little clips of family interaction with babies, and there's an endless stream of those for YouTube. So if you're talking about a young person, a very young baby from 1 year old to maybe 3-4, they don't need much of a narrative, and it's a dangerous time to expose them to these narratives. So go for the simple YouTube stuff and the old cartoons. And then as they get older, maybe go more for old cartoons, old narratives. if you're before 2000, basically the whole wokeness thing, if it existed at all, was very different and much less invasive. And then as they get older, they can all, if you're talking about a teenager, they can watch stuff and be critical of it. So at some point you have to measure in your child, is he equipped with the cognitive tools to resist? And then don't be tight about not exposing him to bad stuff, because once he gets the key to understanding what is it that I'm being presented here, how do I recognize anti-reproductive propaganda? If your child can have these conceptions as he reaches teenage years and adulthood, then he could watch anything and be resistant to it. We own the science. UN official admits that they partner with Google to control search results. Fleming went on to state that the UN is in control of the science. We own the science and we think that the world should know it. And the platforms themselves also do. You don't own the science, woman. Shut the fuck up. The science goes on. You own maybe the platforms and the eyes of the people that trust these platforms, but it's a matter of time before you betray them again and again until they don't trust you anymore. And then Papa JF will rise on Odyssey. Supreme Court turns away challenge to Biden federal vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. The Supreme Court declined to hear an appeal from Missouri and 9 other states. This is sad. Of course, they just refused the urgency appeal. So it could still turn out that it happens in the lower court and eventually they would have a favorable decision. But it's sad because we're talking about massive violations of medical rights. We're talking about the state saying you have to inject this inside your body if you work for me. And that is a massive extortion scheme. If that doesn't qualify as an urgent matter for the Supreme Court, then what does? And you end up realizing that this urgent matter conception of Supreme Court intervention is basically for free speech stuff and things that could affect free speech. But bro, it's more important. Life is more important than free speech. Human life, the boundary of the body, you should at least stand for this being an emergency. But we can't have this even with a Supreme Court dominated by Republicans. It sucks. Genesis says all courts are corrupt and dumb scum, including the US Supreme Court. That's also my conclusion, bro. Too bad. Former Pentagon advisor says US likely attacked Nord Stream pipelines to isolate Germany. Well, it's what everyone has concluded. Thank you for confirming. And as a last news item for tonight, Whoopi Goldberg hits the Daily Beast reporter for knocking fat suit in new film. That was not a fat suit. You know, there are arguments that do not advantage you, that you should not make. That was not a fat suit. It's one of those arguments. The Daily Beast issued an editor's note acknowledging Whoopi Goldberg's comment. Can we see what suit we are talking about? We cannot even see the suit. But basically, the argument is around whether the suit she was wearing was making her fatter or not. It's a matter of opinion, I guess. Philosoraptor sends 25 LBC. He says, I'm a bit afraid that if I isolate my child, overprotect her from wokeness, she won't integrate well with the normies. How does a mentally healthy child perceive a sick society could cause depression? Don't be worried about this. The human brain, I mean, the normies, and, you know, presumably, maybe you're an autist like me, but your child is probably not an autist, so you have to give them some degree of social relationship. But you can get those degrees of social relationship totally within the extended family, cousins, friends, neighbors, the church. Find a church where there's lots of children of the age of your daughter. And this is more than enough. Your child with this combination of three different sources of social interaction will have plenty of social interaction. That's as much as a child needs. Anything more than this is forced exposure to a social world that she doesn't need. In fact, that's the social world of the public school needs your daughter. That's the problem. If you can have an elitist child education mentality that takes care of the true needs of your daughter, then the reality is that your daughter is already a net benefit to her public school and a net negative when you take her out of public school. Because the fact is that, you know how we often say that the question of black integration in the US, and there's a feeling from the left that black populations are entitled to white presence. This also applies within the race. Even if your whole public school was white, the fact is that the quality of the school environment diminishes when people like you take your daughter to a homeschooling environment. But ask yourself, is this your responsibility to lower the quality of life of your child so as to increase the quality of life of the other children? It's not. It's really using your daughter for social gains that are communistic in nature, that do not benefit you and that do not benefit her. If you phrase it like this, you see the cruelty of sending your child to public school. So you have neighbors, families with which you have interactions that may be anywhere between 2, 3 to 15 potential friends. You have the extended family that may be anywhere from 1 to 10 cousins. You have the church. And if you find the right kind of church, there's going to be 30 kids running around throughout the church. And if you find the right kind of community church, there's going to be a party after the church and the kids will be playing together for hours. If you find this, you've exposed your child to 100 potential friends. That's all she'll ever need in her entire life. It's way too much. It's like a surplus of it. And on top of it, through the filtering of family, neighboring, and church, you have filtered for high quality. Now you're worried about your child. How will she react to the normie world? The whole idea of this mode of education is that when they get to face the normie world, they don't have to face it. It's an optional interaction. The big problem of a lot of children in school, in public school, is that they are forced to be in the presence of their psychological bullies and their leftist bullies throughout their life. It doesn't stop. It's constant hammering of their creativity, constant hammering of their intelligence, and constant hammering of any distinction they might have that makes them better. See, you're too intelligent, you're going to get bullied. You're too kind, you're going to get bullied. You're too cute, there's going to be conflict in the school and there's going to be people hating you for it. The whole idea is that your daughter, before being exposed to the normie world, will have developed a self-appreciation, a sense of, I am good for myself. There's nothing wrong with this. I'm not going to get bullied because I'm good for myself. And if I ever encounter someone who's trying to put me down, that person is an enemy. But it takes about 14 years. It's around 14 to 18 years old that someone will be fully formed to develop this opinion. This opinion that I exist, I deserve everything I have, anyone who comes to take it from me is an enemy, must be rejected. And that doesn't mean I have to attack the enemy, but I will develop relationships only with those people who respect the self bubble that I've created through love of my father, love of my mother, and sense of worthiness developed through the network of good friendships through the church, the homeschooling, the neighbors, and the extended family. The big problem of public school socialization is that young people are exposed to forces of bullying. And when I say bullying, I don't mean just the guy who comes to beat you. I mean all forms of, oh, you're a little higher than the other, let's tap on that head. All forms of teachers putting down people who are more original, more creative, more intelligent, people who are distinguishing themselves from the mass, people who are thinking for themselves. And it is a very traumatic experience to be exposed to this before 14 years old, before you have created this whole sense of self. If you're exposed to this as an adult with an emotional stable pillar of a loving family, there's nothing wrong with it. It's all good. Like, you can, if you are raised properly, you can handle so much hate and bullying as an adult. It really doesn't matter, because you know where you're headed, and you know that nothing can hurt this, not the space of non-invasion that you've defined yourself around. And this brings me back, before we finish the show, to the whole Andrew Tate message. I will keep watching it tonight, but I just wanted to say one note that I found interesting at the beginning of this video, and that I didn't know about, is that Andrew Tate was raised by a single mother. Once his parents divorced, I don't know the circumstances, but I think that much of his understanding of the problem with females in our modern time comes from this experience of having a single mother raise him. So it's very interesting. I didn't know that about him. Enlightened Despot says, JF is like and talks like my French Canadian ancestors, who basically don't exist anymore in Quebec. Even I don't exist in Quebec anymore. Linux Foo says, the anti-bullying movement has created a generation of mental infants and tattletales. People need bullying for healthy socialization. Get fucked with this view. It's really bad. Mama JF, although we are not live anymore because there is an F, there is a buffering problem, I will call back Mama JF, I guess. Sometimes it fixes itself generally in 10 seconds. So let's have feedback from the crowd. Are we back? Philosoraptor says, thanks for the amazing advice, JF. Okay, we are back. Dino Logovich says, refreshed and back. So Mama JF, you wanted to intervene?
Yeah, you know, sometimes you meet people, they look like you're gonna bully them, but you haven't even talked to them, and they look at you like they're scared.
They are on the defensive.
Yes, it's so scary to see that. Like, I'm like, dude, what? Oh, calm down.
I mean, we live in a hostile world, and in there's a trade-off, because if you are raised in too much of a hostile world, you will have to develop defensive reactions that are not good for you. See, and this is where a form of cynicism, a form of relativism emerges, where nothing really matters because, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll get bullied for this today and I'll get bullied for that tomorrow. So then there's no truth. I will just adopt whatever people around me have to say. That's a survival tactic in a world that is unchanging, irrational, and corrupted and unjust. So you absolutely do not want, as a form of child experience, to develop their strength, to expose them to an irrational, corrupted, unjust, hostile world. that's important. And that is what the public school is right now. These four words describe totally what the public school is and what most of leftist institution and society are. You're not going to raise a stronger child that way. A stronger child must be given an opportunity to develop a sense of goodness, purity, honor, in the absence of aggression first. Once this nuclei has been properly built, then as an adult, they will be able to face anything that's thrown at them. But the problem is when you throw that stimuli of hostility too early, they end up never learning the ideal to which they can aspire, which is honesty to self, self-consistence, expectation of rationality and honor around me. And if I don't see this, I exclude these people from my life. Not no honor, you leave. I'm ignoring you. I'm ignoring you. But if you throw the hostility from the beginning of their existence as they form their brain, then they react like a beast who needs to solve the problem of how do I satisfy the people around me so they don't bully me. And that's an unsolvable problem. You have to sacrifice so much of yourself to do that kind of pragmatic strategy of social survival. Not good for your brain, not good for math abilities, even I would argue, because precisely math and truth, the pursuit of truth and even the pursuit of moral purity are things that you cannot aspire to if you don't even have a definition of these things as existing in the first place. And if all your life, all you've been doing is satisfy the stupid people in front of me. That's it for tonight. Much love. See you all tomorrow. Thank you.